One of these days. One of these days, I'm not going to have to worry about my hearing aids. I told Becky, I said, now, Becky, I says, half the reason I got that stinking dog is that when people come to my house, he barks. And that helps me. Because if I don't have my hearing aids in, I'm stuck.
Preacher, I'm ready tonight.
No, it's got to be one of them big ones. Well, I'll try to preach a good one to win. Amen. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You crazy man. I was watching Buell. I didn't know if he had that door locked or not. I'm just coming out there with one of them big Gatorade thing. Amen. Oh, I know. It was Barb. She says, he's got hearing aids. He can hear you coming now. But anyway. All right. Let's stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, girls, for singing. Man, I tell you, that just touched my heart. Amen.
Yeah.
That's the blind man. He saw it all. Isn't that good? Amen. He couldn't catch the crippled man. Amen. Amen. Well, it's going to be a good idea, amen. Going to get to see again, hear again, run again. Man, God's good. God's good, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. For if any man hunger, let him eat at home. For ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look into this Word of God. It's a precious thing. It is probably... These scriptures are probably read more than any other scriptures in the Word of God in churches. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would take an in-depth look at it. And Lord God, realize the great responsibility that we have as we have the Lord's Supper tonight. What a wonderful thing. Lord, now bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The holy ordinance of the Supper has been in high estimation by the followers of Christ, held very high in every church age. The first church, the Christians frequently attended the celebration. Indeed, it seemed to have been a principal object of their meetings together. If you would take your Bible and look at Acts chapter 20, verse 7, just goes on to tell about that. In our day, it has been abused in many ways. For some, it has been substituted for salvation. Others treat it with neglect and have excused themselves on the grounds that they only view it as a mere ceremony. The enlightened Christians, though, the Bible-believing Christians, considered an ordinance of God, an order that God gives to us, one bearing to impress of the divine authority, intimately connecting with the grand landing, grand leading doctrines of Christianity, and truly adapted and promoted His growth and His holiness and His joy. That when he gets to take the Lord's Supper, he there examines himself, he looks at himself, he looks within, not without, but he looks within, he looks at himself. The Bible says examine himself, he looks inside of him, he doesn't look at his wife, he doesn't look at his children, he doesn't look at the pastor, he doesn't look at anybody else, he looks at himself and examines and prays the Holy Spirit of God, who knows all and sees all and convicts all, and he says, Holy Spirit of God, is there anything in my heart, my life, that is not right? David prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, forgive me my secret sins. I was enamored about that a while back, and I was checking in on it. I think there's two answers to that. Number one, there are some things that I have done to people I didn't know that I was doing against. Maybe I hurt their feelings, or I said something in jest, or I said something that I didn't even know that I was hurting their feeling. And I think that could be one. Are there some things that we do that we are ignorant of, or as the writer of Proverbs talks about, we're simple. There's nothing written on that page. We don't understand it's wrong or not. And so those are some secret sins. The other secret things is we do things that we don't expect other people to know we're doing. And we know about it, but nobody else. It's a secret. It's kept back from anybody else. We try real hard. Now, of course, you and I know what happens to that. It'll always come out. It will always come out. One day, some way, it will come out. For whatsoever a man sow, he reaps. And so, and the Bible says nothing is hidden from God. So God knows it. So there's two ways of looking at the secret sin. One, that we've done something, not meaning to. Have you ever had your child come up and say, Daddy, that really hurt me? And you're saying, well, what are you talking about? And, well, what you said. Well, honey, I didn't mean it that way. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. That's a secret sin to us. We didn't know that we were hurting their feelings. I know God gave me three boys and not girls. For that reason. There's a few adopted daughters that I have in this church that have certainly sat down with me and talked to me about a few things in life that I didn't even know that was, you know. And I apologize. I mean, immediately. I would never want to hurt their feelings. Never want to say anything to them. But you know, just kind of, you know, so, oh yeah, I walk in it too. And so do you. And so it's very important that we as Christians, we go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, Dear God, I pray if there's anything in my heart and my life that's not right, that you'd show me. Lord, you put your guiding light in there. You put your search lighting in my heart and my life. I don't want to hide anything in my heart and my life that would hinder me serving God. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. It won't be long. We're going to meet Jesus. And I don't want to carry none of that stuff with me. I want to get it over with. I want to do the one, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to live a righteous life. As much as I try, much as I try, every once in a while the referee throws the flag, blows the whistle, amen. All of us. So, we want to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. We want to be better. We want to serve God. I want to be more refined to the Word of God. I want to be more wise to the Word of God. I want to serve God in a better capacity. Someone said to me a while back, said, Preacher, you're always going to training. You're always going to training. Well, you know what? I figured the more training you get, the better off you are. There's some training that I don't need. How do I know that stuff? Because some training, last week they had that training on mental illness. Oh, my goodness, some of the things that they were teaching in that. And some of it, you take it with a grain of salt. But others, really good stuff, really good stuff. And I know that there's some folks in our church that have some mental problems. And, I wrote everything I could down just so I could learn more. I learned more. I want Pastor Commander to go to the, and Brother Buell to go to that pastor's conference. I want so they can learn more. Anytime you get a chance to learn more, you're better off. Amen. You're better off. Somebody told me, said, "Are you kidding me? You go to every one of those classes at that chapel?" Yes, I do. I go to every one of them. I take notes. I see guys there, they don't take notes. I take notes. I take three or four legal pads. I'll fill them up. And I'll try to write down everything I can. Why? Because I want to learn. I think when you quit learning, you might as well give your keys up, you know? When you quit, you're unwilling to learn something more, you're just, you know, you're wasting God's air. Amen? Okay. Thought I'd just give you that. I want you to look at the importance of the Lord's Supper that the Apostle Paul put out. First of all, he called it a divine ordinance. A divine ordinance. It's a God ordinance. For I have received of the Lord. He didn't get this from somebody else. He got it exactly from God himself. I received on the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. He said, I got this. Now I'm going to transfer it to you. That's our job. As ministers, we get it from God. We transfer it to you. And then it's up to you to do what you want with it. Amen. It was instituted immediately by Jesus and enjoyed by his divine authority. God enjoined that. He said that this is what you're supposed to do with the Lord's Supper. There are a lot of crazy things going on in the church of Corinth, you know. A lot of crazy things. And he said, I want you to know. By the way, Paul came to this church and for 3 years he labored. He not only pastored the church and started a church, but he also went out and labored. Doing tents, making tents. Man, I love, I heard there's a program, one college has called the Tent Makers. And what they do is they go out and they have a regular job, but they're preaching the Word of God too at the same time. That's a great idea. That's what Paul the Apostle did. A service may be striking, splendid, and perhaps useful, but it cannot be binding unless it is based on the direct authority of the Word of God. And this is based on the direct authority of the Word of God, that Lord's Supper there. A service, being thus sanctioned, it became our obligation to profess, or may I say, to do what God tells us to do. We're obligated to it. It's the Lord's Supper. Every member of Heritage Baptist Church should be here tonight, unless they're sick or they have to work. This is obligated. He said, do this. Eat this. Drink this. It's obligation. Secondly, he calls it a symbolic ordinance. He took bread, the symbol of the bread and the juice, referring to the Savior's body and his precious blood. Breaking of the bread refers to the bruising of his sacred person. The pouring out of the grape juice to the blood shed for our redemption. The eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup refers to the actual participation of the benefits of our Savior's death. When I take that bread in my hand and I place it to my mouth, I'm saying to my neighbors, I believe that Jesus Christ was beaten horrendously for me. That's how powerful it is. And when I take that cup to my lips, I think this is an illustration of that blood that poured down Calvary's hill off that cross. Is it important? Yes, it is important. And now it's important. We are obligated to do it. Third, he called it for a commemorative ordinance. We are directed by Christ to do it. He said, do it in remembrance of me. He said, hey,
Paul says, this is what Jesus said. You do it in remembrance of me. Not you should, you ought to do it, but he said, you do it. That's a direct command. You can't get out of it. Keep up a lively, he said, I want you to keep up a lively remembrance of the Savior. I want you to keep up a lively remembrance of His person and of His love and of His suffering and especially their end and design of the deep interest of them. He called it, number four, he called it a professional ordinance. Not as we would think professional football. He's talking about to profess something. In this we do show the Lord's death till He come. That is, we keep the remembrance of the event going. The other day, someone put on the Facebook a deal about September 11th. And when they put that on September 11th, they named all the people who were on that flight that crashed in Pennsylvania. And the first thing they knew, they brought that big old plane in, and that second plane hit the Trade Tower, World Trade Center. I remember walking in to the Garden Hotel in the Philippines with my wife. We had our hands full of trinkets and stuff. We'd just been out buying stuff for the grandkids, you know, and you folks' church. And the next day, we're supposed to fly back to Great Falls. And when we walked in, a gentleman standing by the kind of a bar there, he said, "Sir, an aircraft just flew into your trade tower." I didn't know I owned it. But that's what he said. And I looked at that, and the tower was starting to burn. Then, here comes that other plane, live, CNN news, that other baby come in and just, and I said to Marcia, I said, "Marcia, we're in trouble." And it just, I can't explain to you. I was away from America. I'm in the Philippines. And that thing hit and just, oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. I sent Marcia, I said, you go up the room. I'll be up there in just a second. So I sat there and I talked to the guy for a little bit. He said, "Good night, to hit it." He said, "The first one may be an accident, but two of them could not be an accident, could it, sir?" I said, "I don't think so." And that night, I went up to my room. That night we watched CNN, the newscast, all night long. I think we got to bed about 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock in the morning, I did. Marcia was sleeping, and we went over to the embassy in Manila. Funniest thing in the Manila embassy, there was not one American in there. They're all Filipinos. And I'm looking around. I said, "Where's our? Oh, they're not here right now." Come to find out, Bin Laden's nephew was up into another deal, and he was going to shoot the U.S. ambassador. When I called my friend, Brother Ed Lorraine, he says, "Preacher, do not leave the Park Garden. Don't leave Park Garden Hotel. Don't leave it. Don't leave it. Don't leave it. There's a crazy thing going on." Little did I know that he had a CIA guy going to his church. Well, anyway, the other night, I watched this. And all of a sudden, they put the names of people that died. My heart just got raw again. And I thought to myself, when I was working on this sermon, I thought, when the World Trade Center on 9/11, when it happened, it brought raw feelings and it broke my heart for our Americans who were killed. It also riled up some anger. I mean, real anger. Because there's certain things going on and people want to bring some more of those people in our country. Not really. I'll be honest with you, folks. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to get it. Let's figure it out first before we open the gates up. And that brought raw. It just raw to me. And then when I was reading the scripture, I thought, my goodness. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, our heart ought to just go raw and be angry at what people did to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And literally just, I mean, smoke come out of your ears. And then when I was watching their names go by and the pictures of them and these guys that rushed to that deal and they took them down and crashed that plane, my heart, my tears just ran down my face. And I thought, hey, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do when we're taking the Lord's Supper. To realize, to bring back to our mind what He did for us 2,000 years ago. We're to show our faith in Him. We're to show our hope through it. We are to show our love in it when we take the Lord's Supper. We are to be obedient to Christ. We are to show our separation from the world and from sin and say, hey, I don't want to go that anymore. I want to get back on track. I want to serve God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, with all my strength. I don't want to sin. I hate sinning. It just frustrates me. That's what the Lord's Supper is supposed to remind us to. It's supposed to bring us to take away the callousness. I know your wife, with her ankle, they had to take a lot of the, scar tissue out. I think some of us, we get a lot of scar tissue in our heart. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, this is a big deal. And Paul the Apostle said, hey, this is what I got from God, and you better do what it says. And remember what it's about. We don't take it just as flippantly. Seriously, we take that bread and we look at that bread and we say, this is an illustration of Jesus Christ's broken body. They said that you could not even recognize His emaciated body. They didn't even recognize Him. He was beat up so bad. For what? For Him? No, for me. And every time I do something wrong, I'm trampling on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time that we come to the Lord's Supper should take away our distractions and our disbeliefs. He was despised and rejected. So therefore, we're not to neglect it. And that's what seriously that Lord's Supper is. It is also called a Christian social ordinance. Unlike a secret duty, when we retire into our solitude, when we pray, unlike public means where the saints and the sinners come together and the professors and the profane come together to mingle indiscriminately, the Lord's Supper is a family ordinance for all the household of the faith, for all those who are of spiritual kindred in the Savior. It is for the called out assembly of baptized believers. It's for the household of faith. It's the what we call the ecclesia, the Greek word for called out assembly. And not only that, He calls us to do a perpetual ordinance. That means just because the first Lord's Supper happened on the night that He was betrayed, He says, I want it to be perpetual. I want it to continue and continue and continue and continue. Why? Because we get hard-hearted. Because we forget what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Listen what He says. He says, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. He didn't come yet. So it's perpetual. From His first to His second coming, The gospel is to be preached. Salvation is the stream that are to flow. Prayer is to be continued. The death of the Savior is to be perpetuated. The sacrifice retains all the virtue and the efficacy and shall be accessible to all believing sinners. I said believing sinners. We're all that. That's what we are. Amen. We're believing sinners. We know that we're sinners because of our sins. We owe a terrible price. Jesus Christ stepped in and said, I'll pay the price for you. And then we come to Him by faith and say, dear God, forgive me my sins and come into my heart and save me right now. Right here. Amen. So, until He comes a second time without a sin offering, unto the eternal salvation of His people, the Lord's Supper is a time of invitation. This is the time we make sure that all of our known sins we brought to the Holy Spirit of God. We brought to God and said, Lord, I beg You to forgive my sins and cleanse these from me. Again, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God, listen to me very carefully, don't miss this. God is very jealous about His Son's supper. He's very jealous about that. I had a grandma, we call her Gaga. And she would invite all her daughters, she had five daughters. No sons, five daughters. And she would say, hey, you know what? I'm going to make supper. Y'all come here. I'll guarantee you one thing. First of all, it was so good, you wouldn't want to miss it. Secondly, you wouldn't want to miss it because Grandma would remind you that you missed it. Where are you at? I made all this food for you. Think how jealous God the Father, who gave His only begotten Son, that we do not show up and take His Lord's Supper. God said that He will judge those that take His supper without hearts being right. The Lord's Supper is a family table. It is what we call the love feast. It's the get-together family supper time. Like Christmas, around the family supper table. This supper is for the born again and baptized believers only. That's what the Bible says. The table of remembrance, verse 24. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He gave thanks and broke the bread. He said, this do in remembrance of me. So He said, this do. It's a command. It is our responsibility to do what He tells us to do. It's also a table of ordinance. Obedience. Obedience, ordinance, same thing. After the same manner also, He took the cup and when it was up, saying, this cup of the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Remember again, this do ye. How many fathers are here? Would you raise your hand? You're a father. How many have ever told their kid, do that? What happens if your kid doesn't do it? He's going to do it. I used to tell my boy, hey, let me tell you something. I want you to do that. But why? I said, you're going to do it, but there's going to be a big fight, and I know who's going to win. Big fight. And I'm going to win. I have one of my kids said, I can outrun you. No, you can't. You can't outrun me. I don't care how far you go. You better be chicken six all the time because I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm getting you. It may not be today. I had a friend of mine, Pastor Kamara, who said to me, he was an idiot. I guess that's the best way I could say. And he said to me, he said,
I wouldn't do that.
I said, why not?
He said, my dad, my old, he called him an old man. That made me kind of mad, you know. I never called my daddy old man. And he said, I wouldn't do that. I don't care what my old man said. Well, I said, I'm doing it. He said, why not? I said, because I like eating here. I like the bed I sleep in. I like the warm heat in the wintertime. And he does this. This is how stupid he is. He says, see that windmill? At our house, we had a big windmill, probably 40-foot-high windmill. He says, you know what I'd do? I'd tell that old man to take a leap, and I'd climb up that windmill. He couldn't get me. I said, my daddy hates heights. But I ain't going to hang up there. When I come down, he's going to take the Board of Education to see the learning. I said, you're crazy. You see, that's a lot of people are so stupid when they make charges against the Lord God Almighty. I'm telling you what, brother. God said do, you do. He said don't, you don't. And I'll tell you what, you will suffer the consequences. Unless you're not a child of God. He'll let you go. You have a free will. But I'll tell you what, at the end, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that He is God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of a person you have or what kind of religion you have. I will promise you, every man that ever lived on this earth someday is going to bow to the Almighty God and confess that He is Lord. To some of them, going to have to go through some pretty rough stuff. It's a table of testimony, but I like this. It's also a table of expectation. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. He's coming. Glory to God, He's coming. He's coming. The trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ arise, and they that remain shall be caught up. That's called a rapture, amen. And we'll ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you, but man, you ought to be flying around like the crazy people out here when I just said that. Jesus is coming back. I'll be honest with you, I don't like what's going on in America today. I don't like it. But the Bible said these things are going to happen. As in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Read the things that are happening in Noah. God said that He repented of making mankind. Read it. Genesis 6:5. That was way back in the beginning. And He says, I'm coming back. So it's a table expectation. He's coming. Yes, He is. He's coming. Could I hear a witness tonight? He's coming. He's coming. Brother Rick, He's coming.
Amen.
And no more trouble. No more heartaches.
Amen.
No more sorrows. He's coming. I don't know about you, but I've had enough trouble in my life. God says, oh no, you haven't, Shear. I've got some more for you. I'm going to teach you, boy. I'm going to teach you to find out that you really want to come to heaven. Amen. Till He comes. It's also a table of warning. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. God gives us a free will. We have a choice. I have a choice to serve my daddy. Just because you can't see your God doesn't mean that He's not there. Just because
You can't see his face. You can't see his hands. Doesn't mean he's not there. God is real. As real can be. The Spirit of God is real. He said the Spirit of God is like the wind. You can't see it, but you can certainly see the effects of it. God is real. You walk away from God, I'll guarantee you, you'll find out that God is real, if you're His. Bothers me, I hear some people say they're Christians and live like the devil. Well, let me tell you something. Jezebel, you remember Jezebel? That hideous old witch that was on the throne of Israel. Husband name of Ahab. Old Jezebel, 38 years God gave her a chance to repent. Never repented. Finally, what happened to her? Bible says she's fixing up her face. Jehu said, "Fire down!" And he flung her down. And Jehu drove his chariot right over top of her. That was too good for her, for what she did to many, many prophets. It's very interesting. Jehu was sitting there eating in this castle, and he said, "You know, that is the king's wife. That is the king's daughter. You better go out and get her." And all he found was her head, her hands and her feet. Everything else ate up by the wild dogs. Wild dog got enough sense not to eat something so devilish as his brain that did so many things. The hands that had to kill many Christians, many believers. And feet that brought in great destruction. Let me tell you something. One of these days, you've got a lot of people out there screaming and saying how terrible God is. It's interesting to me. Pastor, come on, how can people say that God is terrible when they don't even believe there's a God? And why are they using my God's Son's name every time that every other superbly they put out? Explain that to me. I told one guy, I said, "What are you talking like that for? You don't believe God, so why are you cussing at God?" One of these days, buddy. One of these days. Every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. You know what? Humbly, I thank God He saved me. Because it had nothing to do to me. Humbly, I come before a holy God and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, shedding your blood so that I can go free." Humbly. I hear some highfalutin Christians who are, "Boy, you guys make it awful hard for me to try to tell people about Jesus, amen." "Yeah, I heard this preacher say this." Yeah, but, hey, you know what? First of all, Jesus loves you. And Jesus cares for you. And by the way, we're not perfect. We're just forgiven. We're not perfect. None of us are. We humble ourselves. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible said after they did that, I sang a hymn and went home. One of these days, He's coming. Let's pray. Father, I pray You'd help us tonight, Lord, as we do take the Lord's Supper. And we enjoy the privilege and the pleasure of enjoying what You paid for. Lord, help us to be very careful as we gently come to this Lord's Supper and we praise Your holy name for giving us Your life. Lord, I pray tonight that You'd speak to our hearts, Lord God. Show us, Lord God, in the depths, in the darkness, in the back of our hearts, dear God, if there's anything, a secret sin or an open sin, God, forgive us. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to my heart. Holy Spirit of God, go in with Your light. Show me, Lord God, for I want to be clean. I want to be right with You. Not because of who I am, but because who You are. You promised, Lord, that You'd forgive me. If I only ask, and I'm asking You tonight, Help me live more like you. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you'd like to use the altar tonight. God's speaking to your heart and your life. I don't know your heart. I got some idea. I know you as your pastor, but boy, there's some people can certainly hide a lot of things. They can really be secretive about their lives. Only God knows. Put your bowed eyes closed. Everyone stand, pianos play. You're here tonight. God won't speak to your heart. You come right now. Let's make business with God tonight. Some of you have been away from this altar for a long time. You ought to hit it. Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming to the altar. Lord, I just want you to know that I want to be more like you. Lord, sometimes I can be so mean. This mouth of mine gets me in so much trouble. This mind of mine gets me in so much trouble. Things I watch, things I listen to, the things I think. God, I just want to be pure. I want to be right with God. Why don't you come? There's plenty of room up here. Are you right with God? Are you right? Are you right? Are you right? I had a fellow tell me one time, he says, you know, the way the science is getting, they're thinking now of being able to put diodes in the brains of people, and they can actually put up what they're thinking. If we had that machine tonight, how many would like to give part of it? Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's a holy God that does right now, and He sees you, and He sees what your heart is. And it's up to you to get right with God. And He says, I'll forgive you. I'll just do it immediately. I'll just do it immediately. I'll forgive you. Gone. Cast in the deepest sea. Never remembered again. Cast as far as the east as from the west. What a wonderful God. Because of the blood that He has shed for us. He doesn't cover it anymore. He cleanses us. He cleanses. No spot, no blemish. White as snow. That's what He said. I'm glad I serve a God like that. Come at this time, please. We'll wait.